98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
The top stories of the day, every day during the 4 o'clock reset. We go through all of the stuff making news on our show and in the world of sports. We call it the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show, starting with what Sarah just mentioned a moment ago. N'Keal Harry, AESU all-everything wide receiver, available in this year's draft. A lot of rumors linking him to the Cardinals. He kind of linked himself to the Arizona Cardinals.
My main goal is to be a first-round pick, to be a first-day pick. But if, for whatever reason, I do end up slipping to the second round, I don't see myself slipping past 33. So if I do slip out the first round, I would be excited to be an Arizona Cardinal, and that's where I would see myself going if I didn't get picked on day one.
You know, I could sit here and say he's just hoping that he would go to the Cardinals if he's not picked in the first round. But, man, the more I think about it, the more I feel like he's been told something. The more I think about it, based on his answers,
he's
obviously been led to believe something. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it will happen. I'll paint you a hypothetical here.
Okay.
Second round of the draft begins, and there's a player sitting there at number 33 that the Cardinals simply did not expect would be available.
At 25, yeah.
Right?
And you had, maybe they had him at 25,
yep.
24.
And they say, hey, sorry, N'Keal, but we've got this guy available to us right now. We never dreamed in a million years he'd be there at 33.
Sure.
Hate to break it to you, but this is the direction we have to go. So just because N'Keal's saying that doesn't mean it's like a guarantee, write it down, he's going to get taken by the Cardinals at number 33.
He could be anywhere from 25 to 46 on the Cardinals board, but he is definitely at right around number 3 on their list of wide receivers that are on the board. But we did list 5 players, 3 of them were offensive linemen. If one of those offensive linemen that they've got rated at 22 is there, but also N'Keal Harry, who they may have rated as at 28, is there, would they pass on a guy at 22 to take a guy at 28? That's what makes it interesting.
James Jones spoke out today about the firing of Igor Kokoschkov at a press conference from Talking Stick Resort Arena.
This is my decision. You know, I take a lot of factors into consideration, but ultimately the job that I agreed to was to make decisions for the franchise. And so the decision with Igor was mine. Mine alone, and that's why it was a tough decision, because I truly do have a ton of respect for Igor.
And you should probably share with the folks what you're hearing about Monty Williams when it comes to the Phoenix Suns.
Spoke with the coach today, who told me that he's hearing that he is extremely interested in the Phoenix Suns job. Now, I'm getting a kick out of this. Can you imagine if the Suns got Monty Williams and the Lakers didn't, and the Lakers want him really bad, and they're going for a second interview, and that he chooses the Suns over the Lakers, Phoenix gets over on L.A.? L.A.'s a real... I told you yesterday, I think Phoenix is a better job than L.A. right now. I really truly believe that. I don't think it's better than many other jobs, but I know I do think that the L.A. one is so bad, and this one's not great either, but I think the Suns have more potential. And I think the Suns could be a better job than L.A. at least for the next few years.
You had also heard potentially that the Suns might have done this knowing that they could get Monty Williams, and that was in part why they let Igor Kokoschkov go, yes?
Yes, I do believe that is what I've heard, that maybe they, you know, that it's very possible that they made this move to get in on Monty Williams quickly. So they fired Igor this time so they could get on Monty before he takes another job.
D-backs road trip continues today. The game is underway in Pittsburgh. Game 3 of this 4-game series. Diamondbacks 6-2 on this road trip so far. Merrill Kelly getting the start for the Diamondbacks this afternoon. You can hear it on ESPN 620.
I'll tell you something. There's so many players on this team I'm impressed with, but I just want to start with Adam Jones with another big RBI last night. Adam Jones has been everything in a bag of chips for this baseball team, man. He has been sensational.
I'll give another one. Gerard Dyson has had a really nice start to the season. He is batting. His batting average is fantastic. He's getting on base very well. He's been a catalyst for this offense. Gerard Dyson's had a very nice year so far for the Diamondbacks. The latest Josh Rosen rumors from Diana Russini of ESPN.
Diana Russini.
Let's start with the rumors that we're hearing that there is a trade in place for Josh Rosen with Arizona, and I'm told from sources with the Redskins organization, this is not on the table. This is not something Washington is even flirting with. So we go back to the draft. They've got that 15th pick. quarterback. That's what I'm hearing inside this Redskins building here in Ashburn, Virginia.
Are the Redskins out because they're not at the table, or are the Redskins out because Josh Rosen isn't on the table?
We don't know.
You wonder. I mean, you do wonder, is he even on the menu? If the Redskins are out, is it because he's never been available, so they're going to look for Haskins or somebody else because that Rosen's not just available? I mean, at this point, maybe, you know, are the Cardinals telling people that? I don't think they would tell anybody that Rosen's not available because they don't want people to know that they're taking Murray. I think that they just want to keep things very close to the vest through tonight. And I think tomorrow, I think a lot of stuff will start leaking tomorrow because then it's so close and stuff will start getting out.
Tonight, tomorrow, if you are going to start shopping Rosen, that is the time to start doing it, tonight or sometime early tomorrow. And that dovetails right into our top story of the day with the draft coming up tomorrow. The first round set to commence in 25 hours from right now. The very latest on Kyler Murray is this. He is in Nashville. He was, we thought, scheduled to appear in a charity event today for all of the potential draft picks who are in Nashville. They were all supposed to attend a charity function this morning. All of the guys who had been reported as on the list who were going to attend were all there except for Kyler Murray.
It's not a good look. I mean, listen, let's not lie. It's not a good look. I hope he comes out and apologizes and gives a good reason as to why he wasn't able to make it to a charity event. And I hope he makes it up to the charity in some way. There's a lot of things he could do to make this right. But it's not a good look to be the only guy that's not there. But hopefully this could be worked out somewhere.
Eric Burkhart, and I got this off of Kent Summers' Twitter account. He's the columnist over at AZ Central in the Arizona Republic. Eric Burkhart, Kyler Murray's agent, explained via email Murray's absence at the charity event. Quote, Kyler and his family didn't arrive to Nashville until this afternoon. We never committed to any event today, and the NFL knew when he would arrive. Kyler is excited about tomorrow and looks forward to getting to his new NFL city and getting to work, close quote. So not exactly an apology, more of a, it was a miscommunication. We were never supposed to be there. People who were at the event were expecting to be there. Either way,
you can be the number one pick in the draft. The only thing you're worried about right now is football. You've got people that are in charge of all of that other stuff. So somebody made a mistake. Okay, somebody made a mistake that you're hiring to do this stuff for you. Just like somebody made a mistake when you went on a Dan Patrick show and you were ill-prepared to do the interview.
Right.
Like, I mean, you've got it. Listen, there are people around you. Kyler Murray's not going to be like, you know what? Let me put that, you know, hold on. Let me get my phone. I'm going to put that in my calendar. You want me to be, I'm going to go up. I'm going to call the calendar. Okay, so on Wednesday, April 24th, I'm going to put what time do you need me to be there? He's not putting it in his calendar. He's got somebody that's going to tell him where you got to be and what you got to do at all moments through this draft.
I am so glad you brought that up because there was that big, deep piece on Sports Illustrated about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, in which after that Dan Patrick appearance, that awkward Dan Patrick appearance, he had another one a couple days later that was just as awkward. They fired their PR people, right? Like, how come you have not prepared my son for questions like this? Because he kind of looked like a fool after that interview. This is now the second or third time where it doesn't look like Kyler Murray is on the page that he is supposed to be.
Fire the calendar person.
The
calendar person is.
Not that this is a reason not to draft him. I'm not suggesting that for a second, but it does seem that some of the behind-the-scenes work going on with Kyler Murray over these last couple of months have had some flaws in them. I mean, I think it's reasonable to deduce that. After what happened today, that some of the behind-the-scenes inner workings in Kyler Murray's group are not functioning the way they should be functioning if you're firing PR guys because of interviews and you're not showing up for charity events that you think you're supposed to be at.
Just put it this way. I don't think this is a poor reflection on Kyler Murray as much as it is as a major screw-up with somebody on his staff.
Yes.
This kid's got enough stuff going on right now. People are going to tell when you're in this predicament, people are going to tell you where you need to be, what you need to wear, what you got to do, and they'll prepare you for everything. I mean, so he probably said, dude, you missed the charity event. He's going to look around like, dude, I did? Well, how come you didn't have that down for me? Like, somebody screwed up. And it's bad look for him. But I'm telling you, that's not on him. That's on somebody that's working with him.
N'Keal Harry thinks he will not slip past the Cardinals with the 33rd pick. Is it true? Or is it just very wishful thinking for a lot of people who would like it to happen? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Because we promised to keep you updated, we will keep you updated. The Diamondbacks are already up 2-0
over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Going into the bottom of the first, David Peralta, an RBI single after a leadoff triple by Eduardo Escobar.
What's he batting, like 400?
David Peralta is batting,
like,
give me a minute.
350?
I think it's higher than that. 333. I thought it was higher than
333?
That. 333, yeah. So Escobar wasn't a leadoff triple. I'm sorry, it was a one-out triple.
Get that average up. Let's hit 400 this year.
He scored in a sacrifice fly by Wilmer Flores as well, and it's 2-0 right now. The D-backs with the lead over the Pirates. We will keep you completely updated on that game, no doubt about it. It's been a busy day around here, the day before the draft here on the Burns and Gambo show. N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, came on this broadcast in the 2 o'clock hour, and we asked him.
And he created some noise.
He did. He thought he did really well with the Cardinals when he had that workout with them a week ago or so.
I met with him twice. I actually had, I went up to the facility on the local day, and I had a private workout. And, you know, the workout went extremely well. You know, I think I surprised a lot of the, you know, higher ups in the organization. So, you know, I'm pretty confident going into draft day.
How confident?
Obviously, my main goal is to be a first round pick, to be a first day pick. But if for whatever reason I do end up slipping to the second round, you know, I don't see myself slipping past 33. So if I do slip out the first round, you know, I would be excited to be an Arizona Cardinal, and that's where I would see myself going if I didn't get picked on day one.
Now, let me try to reenact the moment when he said that. I don't see myself slipping past 33. Gambo, who is sitting to my right, looked over at me, and I looked over at him, and we both had this eyebrows raised, eyes wide open, like, did he just say what we think he just said, right? And we gave each other that look, which, of course,
sound the alarms,
begged a follow-up question or two.
Have you been told or given any indication that if you are there at 33 that they will take you?
You know, I can't really say too much, but, you know, just from the workout I had and, you know, like I said, I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
I can't really say too much. So basically, they told you they're going to take you at 33.
I mean,
you just get that feeling like I can't really say too much. So the second you say that, I can't really say too much on if I've been promised I was going to be the pick.
And the pause before he said it. Yeah, the silence.
The pause. Pause is always a stalling tactic.
Well, he's looking at his agent. I mean, I'm sure his agent is sitting right next to him, and he's looking at his agent like, can I answer this?
Exactly.
What am I? It reminded a lot of us, frankly, of when James Jones, the general manager of the Suns, was on with Bickley and Murata around the time of the Jamal Crawford sighting down at the arena. Remember that?
Yeah, I'm going to circle back around to it. You know Jamal Crawford. You're a fan of Jamal Crawford. Is he actually in the building?
Jamal Crawford?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, the phone. Jamal, no, Jamal is a name, that a guy that we're looking at.
It was kind of the same thing. Like, am I supposed to answer that question? No,
a lot of times when you get a question you're not really sure of, you stall for a second because you try to let your brain catch up to what the question is.
Sure.
And figure out how you... So you stall. Sometimes you say, you know, you just...
And N'Keal paused on that answer because he wasn't... What am I allowed to say? What
do I go there? Do I go there?
Right.
Am I going to go there?
So
yes, you went there.
You followed up with one more.
You feel really good based on your conversations with them that they would not let you slide past 33.
Correct. And just because of I know what I did during the private workout. I know the kind of performance I put on. So, and I'm from Arizona. So I'm about 95% sure if I'm there at 33 and they're still at that pick, they're going to pick me up.
Okay. So he's giving himself a 5% margin of error. Okay. He's giving himself the teeniest bit of wiggle room that something could be wrong. He's not guaranteeing it. He's not saying 100%. He's going with 95. Now, the hypothetical that you and I brought up almost immediately after we were done with the interview, I'm sure the Cardinals were impressed. He's obviously a position of need. He's obviously a very popular local player. He would check a lot of boxes for the Arizona Cardinals. But hypothetically, if you're sitting there at 33 and you're the Cardinals, and there's a player that you love, and you cannot believe he's there at 33.
He was ranked 21 on your board.
Right. some offensive lineman that you had ranked 21 on your board that you just did not
from Boston
anticipate
College.
Being available at number 33. You can't guarantee to N'Keal Harry, we are going to take you no matter what at 33. You can say something like, hey, look, if this thing goes the way we think it's going to go, we're really probably going to take you at 33. You can say something like that. But just like N'Keal gave himself a little bit of an out, I'm sure the Cardinals, they can't paint themselves into that corner and say, well, if he's there at 33, we're going to take him no matter what. There might be somebody there at 33 you were not expecting to be available. So you can't like ironclad guarantee promise that we're going to do this sort of thing.
So my understanding, doing a little bit of homework, working the phones a little bit, that there's no real truth to this. From like a Cardinals perspective, like that there's a promise that they're going to take him at 33. But I, you know, like based on what N'Keal said, man, it sounds like there is a lot of indication that we're very likely going to take you at 33, unless like this or this guy falls. We need a wide receiver. We would take you over any offensive lineman. We would take you over any defensive, like we're going to take you, over just about anybody. I mean, but I am getting an indication that there is no, the Cardinals, there's no truth to that he's been promised a deal.
Jordan?
This time of year, we get a lot of overconfident prospects. I mean, even N'Keal said, I don't like to brag, but yeah, I consider myself the best prospect. Almost all of them have said that. So how much of this could just be him self-confident in his own worth, and he wasn't promised anything? He just thinks,
I don't think
they can't pass on me.
I don't think so. He seems like a humble kid with that. He didn't go into detail that he's better than all these other wide receivers. He's just a look. I mean, that's not the way I am. I mean, I think I'm the best, but I thought he was very professional with that. Because he said, I mean, he hinted that when we asked him, like, that was based on conversations. It was based on what he's been told.
I'm sure, to Jordan's point, okay, yes, there is a lot of overconfidence this time. There's a lot of kids who think, oh, man, there's no way I'm getting past that team. I just know it, man, because I'm the bomb, I'm the this, I'm the that, I'm the all-everything, and I'm not getting past that because of that strong overconfidence you need to be a professional athlete, right? But at some point, somebody had to tell him after that workout, somebody from the Cardinals that led him to believe what he's saying now. Now, did he misinterpret it? Did he put too much stock into it? Did he take what was said and blow it out of proportion? I think that's possible. Here's something else that is without question going on. N'Keal Harry was asked by us, which first-round teams could draft you? He rattled off five.
The teams I feel most confident about in the first round would definitely be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm very confident about the Oakland Raiders, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Green Bay Packers at 30. You know, I feel pretty confident about those landing spots. But like I said, if not, I would be more than happy to stay home and be a Cardinal.
What better way to try to get yourself in the first round than by telling all those teams that
I'm not getting past 33, you
right.
Can't get me in the second round at all.
Right.
Now, you brought up an interesting scenario. So somebody did. Could the Cardinals actually move up to get him?
I mentioned that as a possibility.
Okay. Because a lot of those teams are in that 20 to 30 range, right? A lot
yes.
of those teams
all of them are 20 to 30. Yes.
20 to 30. So if he gets past 20, then 21, then 22, 23, 25, 26, could you say, you know what, damn it, let's just go get him. We got to get ahead of this team. They're going to take him. Got to get ahead of this team. Let me move up. I'll move up four spots, five spots. I'll get ahead somebody and I'll take him.
Possible.
Would you do that?
I don't think the Cardinals would, because the extra inventory they'd have to give up to do that, I don't know if they love him that much that they'd be willing to give up a fourth round pick, considering those are the first picks of the third and the fourth round. I don't know. That's a dicey proposition. You might just be content to sit there and wait and see if he falls to you. He lasted just one season as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, but was Igor Kokoschkov basically doomed to fail from the beginning? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Microwave your burritos, everybody. It's the final countdown.
I don't need food out of a microwave.
24 and a half hours away from the NFL draft. It is truly
My wife
final
hates me for that.
Countdown.
It's a millennial thing.
You what?
I have to heat food up in an oven.
It's a poor people thing is what it is.
I can't heat up food in a microwave. I can't do it. I hate the way it tastes. I would rather wait 45 minutes and cook it in an oven than cook it in 1 minute in a microwave.
Toaster oven is where it's at.
I can't do a microwave.
Toaster ovens are the bomb.
Got a microwave in my house. I never use it. I don't believe in microwave food.
By the way, I'm going to say this now.
Yeah.
You are the most high-maintenance male I've ever met in my life.
I will second that.
I can't eat out of a microwave.
You are the most high-maintenance member of the male species ever.
I'd rather wait 45 minutes in an oven, preheat it, wait forever.
That's high maintenance. Yes.
No, that's patience.
No, that's high maintenance.
I have taste.
I'm not trying to generalize here. Typically, I think you'll find more high-maintenance women than you will men. I think we can all agree on that and would not label me like a sexist or anything.
Not today.
Among men I know, you are the most high-maintenance member of the male species I've ever known.
I don't understand that. I don't know how I could be high-maintenance.
You would.
What do I require? I just said that I like to heat food up in an oven instead of a microwave. Why does that make you high maintenance? Because I like an oven over a microwave.
Have to be here, and you have to eat this, and you have to drink that. You have to watch this before you watch that. You have to do this before you crawl into bed. You're high maintenance. You're a high maintenance member of the male race.
You are.
Damn.
And we still love you.
And we do love you.
I didn't even know that I was.
Well, the microwave thing just kind of the microwave thing just puts you over the top. I'm like, seriously, you won't eat anything out of a microwave?
I freaking hate microwaves. I hate them.
Update the Twitter poll question of the day.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah, what do we have today?
All right. Well, we have two polls. The first one we'll speed right through because I think the second one is a little bit more pertinent.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Okay. So hearing that Kyler Murray ditched a pre-draft charity event yesterday, does that change your opinion of him in any way, shape, or form?
No, because it's not him. Like, that's not on him. That's on some idiot working for him that didn't have it all calculated and mapped out and stuff like that. He's not responsible for his calendar. A kid's got 8 million things going on in his life. He's got people working for him that do that.
Burnsy?
No, it doesn't change my opinion of him at all.
Okay. Well, we have 47% who say, no, it doesn't change my opinion of him. I still dislike him.
Wow. Okay.
A little harsh.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yep. 34% say, nope, still love Kyler Murray. And 19% say it actually did change their mind. They don't like him anymore. They're not a fan anymore.
Interesting. All right. What's the second poll question?
The second one. Okay. After our interview with N'Keal Harry from earlier today, do you think that he will last till the second round of the NFL draft? What do you guys think? Simple yes or no.
Yes.
I think that 54% of our audience says he will be there in the second round.
Close, not quite. 56% say no, he will not make it to the second round, so he'll be taken in the first.
Okay. Yeah.
44% say yes, he will still be there for that 33rd pick.
I think he'll still be there. I think he's still going to be there.
I think he's still going to be there, too.
The question is, who else is there? The 33rd pick in the first round or the second round. Who else is there that the Cardinals maybe weren't expecting to be there? That's going to be the question, I think.
Who else will be there?
Who else will be there?
Highly, you know that some people that they have rated in the top 25 are going to fall.
Yes.
You know that.
Happens every year.
That's going to happen.
Happens every year.
And he could be one of them. He could be rated 25th, 26th on their board.
No doubt. The Diamondbacks are up 3-0. They just got a solo homer from Nick Ahmed. 3-0 in the top of the second. In the meantime, today, Igor Kokoschkov's decision to get fired, the firing of Igor Kokoschkov, was talked about by James Jones, called it a tough decision, and in a press conference down at Talking Stick Resort Arena, said that the win-loss record just was not a factor in the decision.
I have a ton of respect for Igor. He's an extraordinary human being, a really good coach. You know, the wins and losses this year, you know, weren't the factor that I really focused on. It was just a collective set of issues that I thought we could improve on.
All right, so if that wasn't the factor, if the 19-63 record wasn't the factor for letting Igor Kokoschkov go, what was the factor in letting Igor Kokoschkov?
There's a lot of things. I just wanted to say this. There was a comment by Quinn Snyder on Igor Kokoschkov. I wanted to read this before we get into that.
Okay.
He said, "I know what a quality coach he is, and there's no doubt in my mind that he'll have future opportunities. It's always unfortunate when you see a colleague let go, and with Igor, it's much more personal than that for me." So that was, I just saw that and I wanted to just put that out there.
Okay.
That's Quinn Snyder, his former head coach. Listen, this was about a lot of different things. And I spoke with some players over the last 24 hours to try to get a feel on, you know, what's happening. What do you think? Give me some reasons. And I'm going to kind of nutshell, put it in a nutshell for you, if that's the right word.
That is.
I am creating new words. The Webster's dictionary, or one of the dictionaries, came out with like 640 new words.
And you think yours are one of them?
I think mine should be submitted. I mean, seriously, I mean, some of my words should be submitted. I mean, monstrumental, is that not a great word? That was monstrumental. Like, why can't that be a word? Like, they added 640 new words. They can't add one of mine? I come up with at least, you know, two or three new words every month that aren't in the dictionary, that aren't real. It is true.
Is monstrumental bigger than monumental?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't heard that one from you.
It is. What's bigger than monumental? Monstrumental. Monstrumental.
Is it bigger than ginormous?
The hyperbole of Todd Graham.
Yeah, you go making up words to the dictionary. Yeah, you let the dictionary know that you want hyperbole changed to hyperbole.
We'll tweet Merriam-Webster and see what they think.
Sure,
see what
absolutely.
They think of monstrumental. I think that's a good one.
Run that one up the flagpole,
yeah,
there,
no
Sarah.
Problem.
See what we got. Yeah.
All right, so here's in a nutshell. In talking to players, okay, not coaches, not GMs, not just players, the feeling was you can't have a young team and a first-year coach. You can have a young team with a veteran coach, or you can have a young coach with a veteran team. But you can't have young and young, because both are learning on the fly, and it doesn't work. Young guys look up to veterans. So if you have a young coach with veterans, and those veterans are buying in when the younger guys fall in line, like what happened with Tyronn Lue in Cleveland. But if it's not, if it's young and young, first-timers and first-timers, it's just the blind leading the blind. It's not something that really works. So I'll just pause there and see if you want to comment before I go on with the rest of it.
Okay, I hear you say that, and two thoughts pop into my head. Number one, Igor Kokoschkov was then doomed to fail, because despite the presence of Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson and veterans on this roster at the beginning of the season, the focus of this team was still going to be Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and the young guys, right? Josh Jackson, all those guys.
But
even at the start, I mean, Ariza was a veteran, and yeah, Anderson was a veteran, but this team was going to be based upon their youth. So number one, my first reaction is that he was doomed to fail from the beginning, if that is indeed the case, because it was a young team from the beginning. And number two, my thought is that you better go hire a veteran head coach. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to hire a veteran head coach because you're building this team around this young core. Don't go hire another young coach. Go hire a veteran guy. Yeah, that's my takeaway.
The other thing I heard, the problem with too many young guys is that instead of rooting for each other, which you get with a good mix, you have guys competing with each other, not really rooting for each other. Now let's go into the positives. The stuff that I heard was really good about Igor was just his strength as an X's and O's guys. He was great after timeout. He's a really brilliant mind, really new offensive basketball. The negatives were he fell into the assistant's role because that was his comfort level. He was used to playing in the background. He's not a confrontational guy, so he wouldn't come down on players, hold guys accountable, and he was very bullheaded with his play calling. Like, overseas coaches are a little bit like control freaks. You know, they got to call every single play, and that's what hurt the Suns. The feeling that what I was told was that this team wanted to run. The players wanted to run. They wanted to get out and run on the break and in transition, but they couldn't because they had to wait for the play call. He literally called every single play. There was one stretch where he stopped calling plays. It was when they won 6 out of 10. He stopped calling plays for a little while just to see, and they won like 6 out of 10. And the other negative is that there was never any identified roles, that he never told players what their roles were. Nobody knew what their role was, yeah. So you just go out there and play. So that was some of the negatives about Igor. And again, this is coming from player perspectives, not anybody else. This is just what the players felt about what was going on with the coach and the system and things like that.
Join Arizona Sports on May 1st to see the Diamondbacks take on the Yankees for only $19.87. By texting the word half to 62620. Grab your lower level tickets in our half day club section, where you'll be sitting with your favorite Arizona sports hosts at Chase Field. Again, text the word half
to 620-620 for tickets for only $19.87. One of the top candidates rumored in a Josh Rosen trade reportedly is out. So is the market starting to sour on the Cardinals quarterback, or is the Cardinals quarterback even on the market? We'll get into that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. No, you are not a millennial.
No.
You are not.
No, I am not. Oh, no.
No. Are you technology savvy? No, you're not a millennial.
Oh, now, hold on.
You know, you weigh around an iPad and an iPhone. And
speak for yourself.
Are you tech savvy?
Yeah, I know my way around an iPad or a...
You're doing lumping me into the same category with you. I'm about to show you the nuances of TweetDeck when we replay our N'Keal Harry interview, and I'm not tech savvy.
I'm using TweetDeck for the first time.
Yeah, and I'm going to show you how it works. I'm going to show you how to set it up, and you're going to think it's totally awesome and fantastic.
I'm kind of looking at it now. It's
but I'm not tech savvy over here. I don't know my way around an iPhone or an iPad.
Yeah, see your messages on one side. Just got a message from Steve Gilbert.
Oh, well, don't respond to that.
And thank you all for joining the Technology Hour here on Arizona Sports.
Getting notifications.
If you're
home stuff.
If you heard me mention a second ago, yes, the N'Keal Harry replay, the interview we had in the 2 o'clock hour, that is coming
it's
up.
Getting picked up all over the country.
Pro Football Talk is running with it. NFL.com is running with it.
A lot of people running with it.
It's one of the top stories in the NFL right now. And if you want to hear it, make sure you are in your car at 5 o'clock. Listening, or you got the buds in at the gym and you're listening because we're going to replay.
Was it Alexa at home?
Alexa at home. Hey, Alexa, play Arizona Sports and bang.
Tell Alexa to put the damn radio on.
N'Keal Harry will be
Alexa!
Replayed at 5 o'clock today. So coming up in just about 10 minutes or so, you'll hear that. In the meantime, the Josh Rosen rumors, and there are quite a few of them right now, including this one this morning. From Ian Rappaport.
I'm told the Cardinals have made no calls to other quarterback needy teams recently about potentially trading Josh Rosen. So if something is going on, if they want to deal Rosen, if they're going to take Kyler and move on from the franchise quarterback they traded up for last year, then it simply has not happened yet. And then maybe it'll happen on the clock. At this point, what we do know is that there have been no wheels in motion toward making any of that happen.
If you're going to start putting those wheels in motion, now is finally the time, tonight or first thing tomorrow morning, if you're going to make Rosen available, this is it. This is the final countdown. It's the moment. If you're the Cardinals, I think at some point tonight, you need to start calling teams and saying, this is what we're going to do. Do you want him or not?
Now, if you're taking Kyler Murray, there's no reason not to hide that. Like, if you're taking Kyler Murray, the only reason is the Josh Rosen trade value. There is no other reason. If you weren't trading anybody at all, and word leaked that you're taking Kyler Murray, so what? Like, we have it doesn't matter. Like, you have the first choice. It doesn't matter. Nobody can do anything to prevent you from taking him. The only thing is the leverage on Rosen. If it had got out a month ago, they're taking Murray, then teams try to hold them hostage. Like, oh, you got to trade Rosen. You have to trade him. And then all of a sudden, the value goes down. So if they play this right, close to the vest, right up to tonight, and then start informing teams that, okay, we're not going to give you a lot of time to think about this. And we're not going to give you a lot of time to figure out who else is in on this. We want a second round pick for Josh Rosen or we're moving on. See, that's the thing that you do too. When you eliminate the amount of time teams have to try to figure out what everybody else is doing, you're kind of putting them between a rock and a hard place.
To a certain extent, yeah.
Now, okay, you're going to call them at 11 o'clock at night and be like, you know what? We're probably going to go Murray. Rosen's available right now. We'll take this pick from you. Now, that team doesn't have a lot of time between when you get the call and when the draft starts to figure out who else is doing what.
Sure.
So that's the one benefit of holding this out, waiting. Like you're watching a war movie and they just wait, they wait until they're just about there. And then, okay, now you fight back or the Vikings or something like that. You know where I'm going here? Do you understand what I'm saying? I watched the movie Vikings. That's how they fight. They wait until you come right. I was real close to them, and then they put these
I got you. Okay,
wait till they're in range. Wait, don't. Okay, now shoot the arrows.
Okay.
Now shoot the
arrows. Now I understand what you're saying.
Okay, thank you. That wasn't a really good analogy, but and I'm trying to get words in a dictionary.
That's what you do. The benefit is to wait so long to when you get a team gets off the phone. The Cardinals are trading Rosen. They want our second round pick. Okay. Is anybody else? I don't know. It's 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. I can't get in touch with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you wake up in the morning, you got to make a decision here because you don't know who else they're talking to.
And we can debate when is the right time to start doing that. But, man, if it's not tonight, it is first thing tomorrow morning. It's you know, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, feet hit the floor, you're in, you're drinking your coffee, you're picking up the phone, and
guys don't sleep tonight.
Oh no. No,
a lot of these guys don't
probably
sleep.
Get an hour or two tops when it's all said and done. Diana Rossini from
Diana
ESPN.
Diana Rossini.
She would appear to be the embedded reporter with Washington.
She's
says she's hearing, well, clearly, she's hearing that Washington is not interested in Rosen.
Let's start with the rumors that we're hearing that there is a trade in place for Josh Rosen with Arizona. And I'm told from sources with the Redskins organization, this is not on the table. This is not something Washington is even flirting with. So we go back to the draft. They've got that 15th pick. Quarterback. That's what I'm hearing inside this Redskins building here in Ashburn, Virginia.
I keep saying this. Is he not on the table because the Cardinals have not put him on the table or because the Redskins aren't at the table? I mean, it could be just because they're not interested in Rosen. I mean, maybe the Cardinals have not made him available yet.
They haven't. Because, again, the benefit, listen, if out a month ago that Josh Rosen's available, team's got a month for the price to go down. You know what? Then you start to hear, okay, I heard this team pulled out. Oh, I heard that team pulled out. You know what? I'm not giving you a first rounder for him. I just heard that those two teams are out. He's going to get Haskins. He's going to get Locke. I'm not giving you a first rounder. So if you do play this out, like, it only works against you for it to be out there that Rosen's available for a long period of time because the value goes down. The best thing to do is wait and not give them any time. You don't have time to figure it out. You don't have time to see who else is in on this. We have six teams interested in Rosen, right? You know, you wake up tomorrow morning, you call all six teams and you say, we have a lot of interest in Rosen. What's your best offer? Third round pick. Sorry, that won't get it done. And you hang up the phone and you see if they call back. They won't take a third rounder. So, okay, they call back. Will you take a second rounder? That's what the time frame is. That's their advantage.
I was interested in this quote that you sent along this morning in your email. This comes from Dan Shonka. He's the general manager and national scout for Our Lad Scouting Service. He told the Washington Post, quote, "The people that are saying that Josh Rosen is not worth the 17th pick, they're all fools. Josh Rosen would be the best quarterback in this draft than it would be Dwayne Haskins. Josh Rosen is ahead of him right now." So if you're the Cardinals, and if you go down this road, and if you start calling teams tonight or tomorrow and saying he's available, what you're hoping for is that there's a team out there who says, look, at the end of the day,
he's better than Haskins.
We have Josh Rosen rated higher than any other quarterback we could get with our first-round pick. We've got to go get him.
And he's cheaper.
Yep. And he's cheaper.
He's cheaper.
$6 million over the next 3 years. Whoop-de-doo.
Right? Yeah.
And you count, but that's if the Cardinals are even going to make him available.
And think about this. If you give up your second-round pick, that means you get to use your first-round pick on a great player.
Yeah.
Like, it makes too much sense to draft Rosen instead of Haskins or Locke or Jones.
He could be the playmaking weapon the Cardinals need. So what is N'Keal Harry hearing about the possibility of staying in Arizona? You're going to want to hear his answer, and it's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.